You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, the federal government gave out more subsidies to farmers last year due to tariffs and trade disputes, but how that money got spread around has some farmers in the Midwest asking questions. Now, there are some new developments in the ongoing situation with Iran. Tensions between the U.S. and Iran spiked with the U.S. assassination of Iranian military leader Qasem Soleimani a week ago today. Iran then retaliated with a missile strike on military bases in Iraq, where American forces were stationed. That attack did not result in any casualties. Soon after the Iranian airstrikes, a Ukrainian passenger jet taking off from Tehran's airport crashed soon after takeoff from Tehran on Wednesday, killing all 176 people on board. Canadian and U.S. intelligence say that Iran shot it down, likely accidentally. Iran's government is denying that. The Trump administration has also detailed new sanctions against Iran, and today we've just learned that the U.S. also tried to assassinate another Iranian leader that same day as the Soleimani assassination, but it was unsuccessful. Our guest Kevin Hermaning is watching the events in Iran with a unique perspective. He was one of the 52 Americans held hostage in Tehran starting in 1979. Today, he's a financial planner in Wausau and a Republican political activist. Kevin, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to join you and your listeners.
Kevin, what's your general reaction to what's been going on in Iran, especially over the last couple of weeks?
Well, you know, the first thing I would say is that the news in Iran is not really news at all, given that for 40 years now, more than 40 years, Iranians have been taking to the streets chanting death to America. Back when we were there, Yankee go home, and all of the terrible things that the leadership has said and done, as well as the people who've been hauled out into the streets or paid to come into the streets to do. But, you know, I really feel in some respects that it's a sad time in our world's history. It's a sad time for the United States. I think it's a little distressing any time a president of the United States feels that they need to commit U.S. military forces to some part of the world. And the question really comes down to whether or not it should have been done and whether it was necessary and the degree to which those actions were implemented by the president as commander-in-chief.
And, Kevin, in your opinion, was President Trump right to take out Qasem Soleimani?
Well, I think this is one of the things that the president will be judged on, not only at election time, but based from a historical perspective. Many years from now, we'll be judging him. Historians will write about this time. And much has yet to be written about that part of the world. This was one of the world's worst guys ever. I would say ranking right up there with Pol Pot and Stalin, Hitler and Mussolini. He joined the Iranian army in 1980 to go fight the Iraqis in what became an eight-year war, and his tenure was supposed to be about 5 months. He ended up spending the entirety of the eight-year Iran-Iraq war, during which a million men on both sides of the battle died. And he rose in power and in rank and, of course, eventually went out and joined the Revolutionary Guard and became commander of the Quds Force. And I think that the world is a safer place. There are more Iranians cheering the death of Soleimani than those who are protesting what the U.S. did to him. There are more people in Yemen and in Syria and in Iraq and in other parts of the Mideast who are very happy that he is no longer walking this earth. Personally, this is the first time in 40 years that Iran has been paying a price in blood or in treasure for having taken the world's reins of international terrorism. And for 40 years, the U.S. and all of our allies and our non-allies around the world have coddled the Iranian mullahs who really have been waging a holy war against the rest of the world. And at the end I think this is the very least that President Trump should have done to the leadership of Iran.
Iran responded by launching missiles at U.S. military bases in Iraq. No casualties were reported. Do you think that that was intentional on their part, that they wanted to respond but not escalate?
Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, there are no American bases in Iraq. That was an Iraqi-based. Americans are based there, of course. But let's be clear, it was an Iraqi air base or military base. And I do believe that it was intentional that not only were there no casualties and very little damage, with most of the rockets having landed in the middle of the desert, according to reporters from ABC and NPR, who were actually on the ground the morning after the missiles were launched. But the Iranian government notified the Iraqi government, as well as the Finnish government, that they were going to be launching these missiles, and all Americans and all Iraqis were moved out of there. The nearest people were over a mile away, actually, at a refugee camp. So there was no chance that anybody was going to be injured in that. It was all for internal propaganda consumption by the Iranian people, for the Iranian people. And I think what you're really going to see come out of all of this, perhaps it might take a couple of months, it might take them till this coming summer, but I think what you're going to see is the very real possibility. I would even move it up to the probability scale, and that is that the Iranian people are going to once again take to the streets, but this time Soleimani won't be there to threaten the Ayatollah with his own leadership to imprison the protesters, and as he personally did in the month of November, just 60 days ago, order the execution of 1,500 of Iranian protesters who were wanting to get rid of the mullahs who lead the country, and as well as they were protesting Soleimani personally with large-size posters of him because they so despised what he has been representing for the last 40 years.
We're talking right now with Kevin Hermaning. He's watching events in Iran with a unique perspective, having been one of the 52 American hostages held in Iran starting in 1979. He's a financial planner in Wausau and a Republican political activist. And Kevin, the Iraqi parliament has called for the removal of all U.S. troops from Iraq as a result of this strike and the ensuing tensions. What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, I think it needs to be clear. Only 27% of the members of the Iraqi parliament voted to ask or order the Americans to leave the country of Iraq. They had barely more than a quorum. And of the quorum which was in attendance, which consisted of no Kurdish members and no Sunni members in the parliament at that time, because they all walked out when this very resolution was even being introduced, so they didn't participate in voting, only 51% of the people in the parliament who even were there voted for this resolution. So I do not see this as something that's going to happen at all. The agreement requires that the U.S. would make the decision as to whether they were going to leave or not. Personally, I think that the president was well-founded in making this decision. If there were going to be, and I believe there is a 0% chance that this is going to escalate into a wide-scale war with troops on the ground, the president, of course, would seek the input of Congress. In the meantime, comparatively speaking, and I'm not a whataboutism type of person, but the opponents to what the president has done here, they were silent. They were actually cheering President Obama when he not only went into Syria, but also when he started a full-scale shooting war in Libya and ordering the execution of Muammar Gaddafi. And he was much less of a threat to the United States than Soleimani has been. And same almost could be said of Osama bin Laden, who really had become a non-entity for about 10 of the last 18 years prior to his death.
Some Republicans, notably Republican Senator Mike Lee and Senator Rand Paul, said that they were not happy with the briefing that they received from members of the administration. They said it was not clear that the administration would go to Congress for further military action. And concurrently, yesterday, the House voted to limit President Trump's power to take military action against Iran without congressional approval. Where do you see the balance there?
Yep. So, again, I think that the president, I mean, ever since 1973 in Congress, the Congress did pass the War Powers Act, which essentially said that the president, before committing ground troops, would have to go to Congress to get that authorization. You know, since 1973, the United States has not ever, I mean, we're talking a long time now, 50 years, we have not been in a declared war yet. Since then, Congress has not authorized a declaration of war since 1973, and yet we've had numerous hundreds, in fact, of military operations which have involved real weapons that were used both by our troops as well as against our troops. So I think Senator Lee and Senator Paul, they're on the right track as far as an expectation that this president or any president should come to Congress and get a declaration of war authorization to commit troops in the event of a large scale event. But I don't think that that's what this is at all. This was a deterrence. And a deterrence that has been long overdue. If it's one thing the Iranians respect, it is the use of a judicious effort towards strength. Sometimes force, but most of the time strength is much more important than force itself.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Absolutely. Really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Kevin Hermaning is a financial planner and a political activist in Wausau. He was one of the 52 Americans taken hostage in Iran in 1979. We talked with him about the strike that killed Iranian military commander Qasem Soleimani and the retaliatory attack on U.S. military forces in Iraq. By the way, we're planning on lining up more perspectives on the ongoing Iran hostilities in the days and weeks to come.